Please remain standing for the scripture reading. The scripture reading today comes from three passages from Luke 22, verses 31 and 32. Mark 16, verses 6 and 7. And finally, 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning with verse 3 through verse 5. Luke chapter 22. Verses 31 and 32. Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat. But I've prayed for you. I've prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. From Mark chapter 16, verses 6 and 7. Don't be alarmed, he said. You're looking for Jesus, the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He's not here. See the place where they laid him? But go and tell his disciples and Peter. He's going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fate, yes, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. That's the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Thank you. You know, we ought to give God some praise for our young people. Our young people. One of the wonderful things about the church is that there's opportunity for our young people to be heard and not just seen, to share and to grow in their gifts. And, you know, there are many of us now who fall into the category of, quote unquote, the rich and famous. And when you hear their stories, amen, many of them started out.
That's right.
Somebody's church, am I right about it? Somebody's church. Someone said, sing, child, sing. Sing. They stood before the congregation and said two or three lines and some. This, the church is an incubator for the potential of every next generation. So we should always give God thanks and praise for our youth. Amen. Ask your neighbor something. Are you ready to ask your neighbor a question?
Yes.
All right, here we go. Ask your neighbor this. Do you need a word of encouragement? Go ahead and ask. Now tell them, you're in the right place.
You're in the right place. You're in the right place.
Oh, my God, my God, my God. You are in the right place. If you need a word of encouragement, you're in the right place. Scripture has been read this morning coming from three different places. And I hope you jotted those passages down. If you didn't jot them down, the first one was Luke chapter 22, verses 31 and 32. Then we went to Mark chapter 16, verses 6 and 7. Then 1 Peter, beginning with the third verse and reading through the fifth verse. So just want to share this brief word of encouragement. We're going to anchor it, base it, in Luke chapter 22, verse 31 and 32. Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat. But, somebody say but.
But.
Yeah, but I have prayed for you, Simon.
Oh, yes.
That your faith, somebody say faith. That your faith may not fail. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. Oh my God. The topic, faith under fire. Faith under fire. Mm-hmm. Our Cush students, our Cush brothers and sisters, they have go-to verses. I usually hear go-to verses with them. So this is your go-to. These two are your go-to verses. But so here, those are your verses, and here's the go-to sentence. Are you ready? All right, say this after me. When my faith is under fire,
I will remember
that God's got a fire under my faith. When my faith is under fire, I will remember that God's got a fire under my faith. That's your go-to sentence. When my faith is under fire, I will remember that God's got a fire under my faith. Have you ever gone to a cookout and somebody offers you something off the grill, and you take one look at it. You take one look at that thing, and you say to yourself, not yet. Right? Am I right about it? You've been there. Yeah, I was at the same cookout. You were very tactful with what you did. I got it, you know. And so what happened is that you said no because you could see that there was some, maybe it was, if it was meat, a little blood running. You know what I'm saying. You didn't even have to be a chef. You didn't need something to stick down in it, you know what I mean. You just could tell, not yet. Too much blood. Too much blood. Okay. So because it was too much blood, you knew that it hadn't finished cook. It wasn't finished cooking, right? It wasn't done yet. And because it wasn't done yet, you weren't ready to make your commitment into eating. Because you knew that if you ate it before it was done, you could get sick. Isn't that right? Right. So you wanted to go back on the grill. Is that right? All right. So first, imagine with me that Good Friday represents the blood still running. It was a mighty work on Good Friday. But the work that Jesus came for wasn't complete until he got up. When he got up on Sunday morning, oh my God, there was no blood because the work was complete. And with the work being complete, we're able to make a commitment. Able to make a commitment, able to receive, able to take in the love that God offered for us through Jesus Christ, able to take in the forgiveness, able to take in the healing, able to take in the deliverance, able to take in the hope, all because he not only bled, but he stayed in the grave on Saturday. He didn't get up ahead of schedule. He waited, oh, y'all don't hear me, until the work had been complete. It's done. All right. I'm talking about, we're talking about this cookout stuff, you know what I mean? Because I was in Target just the other day. You know, I was in Target and I was grabbing, you know, just grabbing some bread and yogurt, you know, like that, just a little quick something, you know what I mean? Just a real quick something, you know. But what I noticed was that off in the distance, I noticed that the patio furniture is out. You know, the umbrella is out. Umbrellas, they're already leaning, you know, the umbrellas are already tilted, you know what I mean, and they already have the little lawn furnitures and the grills out, and they already have the gardening hats out and the whole thing, right? And so as I just saw that stuff, I was already there. I was already at the cookout. I was already anticipating the whole thing just with the sight of the grill. Hello, somebody. I was right there. But you know what? No matter how good the grill is, No matter how good the grill is, no matter how good what you're going to put on the grill is, nothing happens until some heat is in place. Am I right about it? Yeah, right. You can have good meat. You can have the best steak. You can have choice burgers. You can have good ribs. Whatever you want to work with on that grill, honey, you're going nowhere until the heat is in place. Am I right about it? Okay, great. So here's the point. All right, the point is that your faith is what heats the grill. Your faith and my faith is what heats the grill. Right. And what goes on the grill is what we believe. You see, it is possible to believe and never make a commitment. You see, you believed in God before you ever exercised your faith in God. You can believe in God, but after you believe, you got to move to faith. And once the faith cooks your belief, then you're ready to make a commitment. Am I right about it? Hello, somebody. You can be in Sunday school. You can be here. You could read a tract. You could be anywhere and believe God and begin to have faith, but not until your faith cooks what you've been exposed to will you say, yes, Lord. All right. So here's my point. And guess what? I'm almost done. Right, because somebody has a grill somewhere. You're going to cook. I know how you do. I know how your son is, Doris. He got a couple of grills over there at your house. Yeah, her boy, Malcolm, has plenty of grills. He's a grill master over there. Mm-hmm. Get a whole hog. That's what I ain't. Don't get her address. Leave her alone. I know y'all want that whole hog. You want a whole hog and high blood pressure pills next. I know how you... All right, I'm leaving it alone. I'm going to leave Malcolm alone with his grill and his hog. I'm almost done here. Now, here's the news. The news is simply this. The devil doesn't want your money. The devil doesn't want your job. The devil doesn't want your status. The devil doesn't want your social networks. Honey, the devil is after your faith. Because if the devil can get a hold of your faith, your belief goes nowhere. And if your belief goes nowhere, honey, you're going down and you won't be getting back up. Many of us right now are only on our feet because of faith. We're on our feet because of crazy faith that just won't die. Oh yeah, your faith comes under fire just like my faith comes under fire. When you're in school, your faith comes under fire when it comes time for testing. Hello, somebody. Whether you are the student or the teacher or the principal with these tests, you got to justify your existence. The pressure being put on young children to come up to snuff, that's a lot of pressure. And the only way you can survive that kind of pressure is faith in God. Yeah! For those of us who are seniors in high school and seniors in college, if you're in high school, you're having faith that the school that you're looking at is going to open a door and say yes. And if you're the parent, you're having faith that the money is going to come through so your child can go to school and get an education and stand on your shoulders and bless God with his or her gifts. If you go to work, you're exercising your faith that you won't get cut out of the budget when the next time around. If you have a job, you're hoping that your job status won't change. Because if your job status changes, you might lose your insurance. I can't get any help up in here. If you have faith, faith. Oh, my God. And then with rezoning that occurs in the towns that we live, you don't know what benefits you're about to lose. And so if you are a citizen and a taxpayer, you are exercising your faith every week that God's going to look out for you. If you're a parent, a grandparent, an aunt, an uncle, a godparent, you are exercising faith that your child won't be next to be shot in the back. It won't be your child. It won't be your husband. Won't be your wife. Pulled over. The devil is after your faith. Oh, yes, he is. Yes, he is. Peter, Simon, Simon, I want you to know, Satan has been asked to sift you like wheat. And scholars tell us that the you here, the Y-O-U, is plural. Woo! You know what that means? That means the first you doesn't apply just to Simon. But Simon was the first disciple who Jesus recruited. Y'all don't hear me. So what am I saying? What I'm saying is that when you feel like the devil is after your faith, he's not just after your faith, but he's after everybody's faith on the road that you're sitting on. Everybody's faith in the ministry that you're in. Everybody's faith on the side of the church that you're sitting on. But I have prayed for you. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Jesus has prayed for every one of us that our faith won't fail, that our faith won't go down. Just like there's a fire hydrant, Satan gets a hold of a hose like that and tries to hose your faith down, tries to water your coals so your grill won't have anything to work with. But I came to tell you that because Jesus prayed for you, the prayer of Jesus has infused the coals of your faith with something extra. So just like those little birthday candles. Y'all know those little birthday candles. They're lit. And you try to. And they're still there. And they're still there. Oh, because Jesus has prayed, your flame doesn't have to go out. Somebody say, yeah, yeah. So when my faith is under fire, I'm going to remember that God's got a fire under my faith that won't go out. Say yeah. So let me put it like you, put it like this. That means I'll be all right. And
you'll be all right. And y'all will be all right. Why? Because my faith has found a resting place, not in device nor creed. I trust the ever-living one. Oh, y'all don't hear me. It is enough for me that Jesus died, and that he died for me. Jesus prayed for me, had me on his mind. He took the time to pray for me. And I'm so glad he prayed. I'm so glad he prayed. I'm so glad he prayed for me. Jesus prayed for me, had me on his mind, took the time to pray for me. Oh, I'm so glad he prayed. I'm so glad he prayed. I'm so glad he prayed for me. Jesus prayed for me, had me on his mind, took the time to pray for me. I'm so glad he prayed. I'm so glad he prayed. I'm so glad he prayed for me. Somebody prayed. Yeah! Oh yeah, took the time.
I'm so glad he prayed. I'm so glad he prayed for me. Mama prayed for me. Had me on her mind. Give the time to pray for me. I'm so glad he prayed. Without knowing who Jesus is, and without knowing that Jesus prayed for you, it all begins with giving your life to Jesus Christ. So wherever you are invited in the balcony, you are invited to come. Come. Dr. Glover is in the aisle, she would meet you. Come and give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ today. Today is the day of salvation. Would you please come? If you have not yet given your life to Jesus Christ, you are invited to come. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Is there another? On my right and my left in the balcony, is there another? Today is a wonderful day for salvation in your life. Please come. If you do not have a home church, whether you are a first-time visitor or not, we invite you to consider making St. Paul Baptist Church your home church, a place where we can grow together in the Lord and mature spiritually together. So we invite you to come also. If you need a home church or you do not have a home church, come and speak to our counselors about the wonderful ministry we have in our midst that we can help each other to grow together. You are invited to come. Would you please come? Wherever you are. We are praying for you. Please come. Is there another in the balcony? Is there someone? God so loved you. Yes, he loved the world. But he so loved you that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus died for you. Please come and receive the Lord Jesus Christ into your life. One more time. Jesus, prayed, had me on his mind, took the time to pray for me.